This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
This is Julia Child. Bon appetit.
Love that. Delicious.
Enjoy.
As Stateside goes tableside this week, let's talk about it, how we talk about food. Why do words like foodie, delish, and yummo drive some people crazy? Margot Finn is here. She's a lecturer at the University of Michigan. She specializes in food and popular culture. Very good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, it's funny. We spotted a piece on thekitchen.com. It was called 21 Food Words and Phrases That We Should All Probably Quit Using. I'm going to bounce a few of these off of you. And to get your opinion, thumbs up or thumbs down on these,
sure.
Za for pizza.
I don't know that I've ever actually heard somebody say that in earnestness. It's a great Scrabble word. It's very useful for Scrabble. It's funny to me that somebody would take offense to that. I don't have a problem with it. I also don't use it, though.
The writer said, don't insult your pizza with that. Yummo.
Yeah, so that's a Rachel Ray word, and I think Evo, if I remember it, is also on the list. I think that maybe what's happening there, Rachel Ray's an interesting figure. She's been quite successful, but particularly for, I think, a lot of people who want to see themselves as trendy or edgy, she's a threat. She's not cool, right? Mm-hmm. So to say, oh, I'm not going to use these words. Oh, yummo is gross. Oh, it's only stupid people say yummo. That's a way of pushing back against Rachel Ray, right? I like food, but I'm not lame like her.
That's interesting. Delish.
Right. So these abbreviations, some people just take real offense to that. Like, I think some people have similar problems with lol or other kind of new internet speak. It's just, there's something, maybe it's too cutesy for some people.
Yeah, and then I had to agree when I saw nom. They said we could be, you know, we're not 5 years old. Nom nom or noms.
See, that's really interesting to me because I think nom actually serves a purpose. They said something about nom's not very descriptive. Well, eat isn't very descriptive either, right? So, and there is a way that nom serves a different purpose. You know, somebody posts a picture of something on Facebook, for example, and you reply back in, you know, all caps nom. Mm-hmm. What you're saying is very succinctly, that looks like something I'd like to eat. And you couldn't just say eat and have it communicate that.
So
right?
That could be a good word. One of the phrases that they took umbrage with on this, thekitchen.com, was the party in your mouth, describing that.
Yeah, I think that's got to come from the Food Network, too. I'm not sure if that's a Guy Fieri or whose phrase that is. But I think that is kind of, again, somebody saying, like, maybe this is, you know, an overused thing or a thing that's too pop culture. And I'm cooler than that. I'm edgier than that. What I do is different.
And as we know, pop culture is shifting. So you can be very trendy and cool for calling your pizza za 1 minute. And then the next week, people are sneering at you for it because it sounds like you're trying too hard.
Absolutely. There's kind of a treadmill of these trends, right?
I'm talking with University of Michigan lecturer Margot Finn, who has really done a very cool job of combining her academic work in American culture with her love of food and wine. There was an interesting piece in The Atlantic by B.R. Myers that pretty much calls out foodies and gourmets, noting it's kind of always been a big part of the gourmet's pleasure that he eat in ways the mainstream cannot afford. Are foodies inherently obnoxious?
There's certainly a long history of anxiety about food snobbery, about elitism, and I think those concerns come from the fact that we can use food to perform status. So anytime there's that possibility of using some kind of culture to perform status, I think people are going to have to be very careful about distinguishing when they're doing that, when they're not. So just to know that that threat is there makes people know that what they're doing could be a kind of performance that might be crass or venal, a kind of class climbing. And so you'll always have that trend of people then making sure, you know, on the one hand, there's the great incentive to perform status. And on the other hand, there's the threat of being found out for, you know, performing status. It's a tight knot. Right?
It is a tight knot. And one can see it could certainly come off as a little too precious and too hip and privileged to be taking pictures of your awesome meal and maybe treating food as something of a holy experience rather than something we have to do to stay alive.
Right. Although, I mean, why can't it be both?
Yeah.
There's, you know, no reason that food should be excluded from the kinds of aesthetic experiences that it can offer. And yet, I think there's, you know, and that anxiety goes back a long time too, right? Is it wrong for us to elevate these bodily pleasures? Is there something perverse about celebrating things that are so lowly?
Margot Finn, University of Michigan lecturer who specializes in food and pop culture. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.